Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Opposition Research Podcast here on HawkeyeNation.com. My name is Andrew Downs. Each week, I will find a beat reporter, blogger, or broadcaster that covers Iowa's upcoming opponent. If you have a suggestion for who I should talk to in a given week, or if you have questions you'd like me to ask, you can find me on Twitter at Andrew C. Downs. It is game week. Oh, glad to have it back. Of course, Iowa opens the 2020 season with a road trip to Purdue, a 2:30 kick this Saturday afternoon. Right now, last check, Iowa a 3.5-point favorite. My guest today covers Purdue for the Journal and Courier. Once again, it's Mike Carman. Mike, thank you for the time.
Thanks for having me.
The biggest story, other than actually having a game, and thank God we actually have a game to talk about, seems to be that head coach Jeff Brohm has tested positive for COVID-19 and therefore will likely not be in attendance this weekend. Iowa fans have gained a lot of respect for Brohm as he's been able to out-scheme the Hawkeyes with a lot of success over the past few years. How big a deal is it that he won't be on the sideline this Saturday?
Well, to say it's not a big deal, I think, would be inaccurate. It's just a matter of the level of big deal that it is. I mean, Jeff is the play caller. That's number one, and he's the head coach. So he has a rhythm to his play calling, being on the sideline. So, you know, it'll probably have some effect, but, you know, they've had a full week to prepare. His brother Brian, who is on the headset during the games, will be the acting head coach and also the play caller. So there'll be some similarities, but to say there won't be some sort of disruption somewhere, I don't think you could say that. I think there probably will be something, but it's just a matter if they can mask it over and it doesn't become a big deal. But yeah, not having your head coach there to make decisions and understand what he wants to do in certain situations, I think it can have a negative effect on Purdue.
You know, last week, a lot of the talk nationally was around Nick Saban and his positive test and what he would be able to do on game day. Would he be able to text into coaches? Could they set aside a box up in the press area for him to kind of stay isolated but still be on a headset? Is there any talk about that? Is there any idea right now what Jeff Brohm's role will be on Saturday during the game, if any?
It's unclear exactly what his role will be, but I don't anticipate the Big Ten allowing any kind of outside communications. And I think that's more of a standard rule across the board, COVID or no COVID. I just don't think you want, you know, it's like a baseball team sending a coach or somebody out to the outfield to steal the catcher's signs, stuff like that. I just don't feel like that is something that should be permitted. And plus, when you're dealing with COVID, you know, part of the protocols are that Jeff needs to stay isolated where he's at. I mean, getting out and moving around is probably not the best thing for him or for everybody else. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if there's some communication during the game. Now, will there be communication before the game, at halftime, and things like that? Probably, because that's probably the way it's going to work. But, you know, we're unclear exactly where Jeff will be. I would assume he'll be at home during the game. And, you know, they'll kind of take it from there.
as we look at Purdue here in Iowa, we see a two-headed monster at wide receiver, and you know, maybe the best wide receiving tandem, and certainly in the Big Ten, maybe even in the country, in Rondale Moore and David Bell. But there's a big question right now as to who will be throwing them the ball. I know that you don't have the answer. You weren't given the answer this week as to who the starting quarterback will be, and I believe there are three guys that are kind of vying for this job. What can we expect from each of these three guys?
Well, first of all, I think it'll either be Jack Plummer or Aiden O'Connell. They have the experience in Brohm's system from last year. Both played as a result of injuries to somebody else. So they have that kind of experience. O'Connell finished the year after Plummer suffered a broken ankle against Nebraska, and Plummer did play against Iowa last year, and he was, I think, 30 for 50, 320 some yards, a couple touchdowns and a pick. So, you know, he put the ball up a lot, but Rondell Moore was not part of that equation. So I think it's probably down to those two. The third is Austin Burton, a graduate transfer from UCLA. He's more of a runner, gives him a different element. I could see him as a change of pace guy. I think Burton eventually plays this year at some point. I just don't know if he plays Saturday. So with Plummer and O'Connell, you have two guys that do know Brohm's system, do know where the ball needs to go on a consistent basis. And I think either one, I think either one gives them a good chance to start the game off strong. And that's kind of what Purdue needs to do. They just can't fall behind and put everything on the shoulders of a starting quarterback or some other phases in the game. But I think, you know, Plummer and O'Connell have proven that they're capable of handling the job.
I know it's hard with the strange offseason, no non-conference warm-up games. We haven't seen Iowa or Purdue, for that matter. We don't know what kind of rust there will be or any of this stuff. But as you look at Iowa's team right now, what is something that you think Purdue can exploit about the Hawkeyes?
Well, I mean, you have a new starting quarterback. That would be one. But beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, the Iowa's group of receivers, I think I added it up, and I think probably everybody knows, more than 160 combined catches last year. I mean, that's a talented group. Good running backs, good offensive line. Purdue's has changed defensive coordinators and defensive coaches, going with Bob Diaco, a former Hawkeye linebacker. So we're not clear exactly what we'll see out of Purdue's defense this season, because, you know, they've toyed with a 3-4. They'll probably play more 4-3, but it's just an alignment that Purdue hasn't played in the last few years. If Purdue can somehow rattle the quarterback a little bit, get him off his game, get him off his spot, stop the run, force him into second and third and long situations, you know, that would benefit Purdue. And Purdue's going to have to figure out a way to score. And Jeff Brohm has done a good job scheming against Iowa's defense, finding that cornerback that's not on par with the other cornerback and going after him and attacking him with the deep ball. And we'll see if that still plays out again on Saturday.
Obviously, no public tickets will be on sale for any Big Ten games, at least not for the foreseeable future. And we learned, I think, in the last 24 hours or so that teams will be allowed to pump in some low-level crowd noise. what do you expect the atmosphere to be like at Ross-Ade Stadium Saturday afternoon?
Like a spring practice game. Probably what they draw for a spring practice. Actually, they would draw more for the spring game than what they're going to have, because you're just going to have family and friends, and I think each player is limited to four tickets. You'll have some support staff personnel and their families hanging around. But, I mean, if you have more, you know, if there's more than, you know, 1,000 people there or 2,000 people there, the one thing I'm unclear on is, you know, is in visiting teams, bring fans? Is there a pass list for the players from Iowa to get their parents in? So I've read where Ohio State is allowing 400 tickets to the visiting team. Mm. And Ohio State, I think their maximum was like 670, 680 or something like that. So you've got about 1,000 fans at Ohio Stadium. Purdue, if there's 1,000 people there, but there's not going to be much of an atmosphere. And I know that they'll be able to pump in some murmurs and things like that to help. I wish they would do it. I just wish they would let the band in.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes, in a 60,000 seat stadium, You know, you can put your parents and your support personnel people on one side, put them in a section, and then on the other side, you can just, you know, socially distance the band out across the way. Just give the place some atmosphere, give the place a feel that it's somewhat college football. And, you know, you can get the school song and stuff like that going. Just, you know, do that instead of pumping in fake crowd noise. But, you know, this is what we deal with. Hopefully after a week or two, they relax the standards a little bit and let some of this stuff happen, assuming that the Big Ten can continue to play games for the next 8 or 9 weeks.
Are you lucky enough to be among the 1,000 people in attendance, or will you be watching on the couch like the rest of us?
Well, I think I got approved for a credential.
Good.
So I think I'll be there. And
fantastic.
That's, you know, another thing, just navigating that whole process will be different, but, you know, we've had to do a lot of different things in 2020, and this is just added to the list.
Well, I wish you luck as far as all of that goes, and hopefully you get to see a good game. It's good to be talking about football. It's good to be on game week and have actual games to talk about, and I appreciate your time as always, Mike.
Well, thanks for having me.
You can follow him on Twitter, at @Carmen_JC, Mike Carmen from the Journal and Courier. And there it is. We are back. It is game week. Keep up with everything going on at HawkeyeNation.com. We'll have podcast articles, all of that good stuff. Be sure to check your feed after the game Saturday. I'll have an instant reaction podcast ready to go one way or the other. Hopefully a celebratory instant reaction podcast as Iowa gets off to a good start, hopefully, in their season opener. Thank you so much for listening, and go Hawks.